Our passage tonight is Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 38, Christ's presentation and God's approval. The presentation of Jesus Christ to the Lord in the temple following his birth in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 38, was required in Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 8 of the Mosaic Law and other passages, so Mary and Joseph heeded that requirement. However, God gave a special approval of that presentation with two godly witnesses testifying to Jesus' calling as the Messiah. So we view that passage for our insight, our application, and our edification. I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. Luke 2, 22 to 38. And when the days of her, that's Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him, that's Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And he came by the Spirit's leading into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in at that moment, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Okay, when Joseph and Mary, who carried the infant Jesus, came to the temple to offer sacrifices, those sacrifices dealt with Mary's own need for purification following her delivery of Jesus. And this is all in accord with Leviticus chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Moses had directed that after a woman had delivered a male infant, she was considered ceremonially unclean for 40 days, likely due to her postnatal discharge, Leviticus 12, 1-5. After that, she was required to bring either a lamb, if she was financially able, or a young pigeon or a turtle dove, if poor, to the temple priest as a burnt offering for herself, signifying her devotion to the Lord. In addition to the lamb or the young pigeon or turtle dove as a burnt offering, the mother was to offer a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering for herself, Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8. Now, if the mother was poor, Leviticus 12, 8 allowed her to bring a pair of turtle doves or a pair of pigeons, one bird for her burnt offering and the other bird for her sin offering. And this is what Mary did, and that tells us that Mary was poor. That also helps us to date the arrival of the Magi. The Magi, you remember, when they came, they offered expensive gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were pricey gifts. If they'd had those gifts at that time, they would have been able to have qualified to have purchased a lamb. But this is 40 days afterwards, and the Magi still hadn't arrived. That's why they were still so poor that Mary had to offer two birds. So that means that when Jesus was taken by Joseph and Mary in a hurry to get out of the area, Jesus might have been 5 or 6 weeks old. We don't know, but it's interesting. Well, here's another fact. The fact that one of Mary's two birds was a sin offering for herself. In other words, this is not a sin offering for the baby. This is a sin offering for the mother. Since one of Mary's two birds was a sin offering for herself, it means that Mary was a sinner. So belief in Mary's immaculate conception that she herself was conceived without sin is an errant belief. As you'll notice, the Roman Catholic Church teaches that Mary herself was immaculately conceived. In fact, the reference to the Immaculate Conception is not referring to Jesus' conception. In the Catholic Church, that refers to Mary's conception. They believe that Mary was conceived without sin. But the problem is, they say she had to be conceived without sin in order to deliver Jesus without sin. Well, where do you stop? Mary's mother or grandmother? Where is this going to go? It's an errant theology. However, the Mosaic law also directed that Mary's firstborn son, and the Hebrew word in Numbers 18, 15, and 16 is bekor, which means a firstborn son, be presented to God at the temple and redeemed with 5 shekels payable to the priest. Now, 5 shekels compares roughly to our $4. The birds that Mary was able to buy cost a couple of pennies apiece. $4 would have been a lot of money for Joseph and Mary. So they probably had to pay up in order for Jesus. So that's why they paid much less for the little birds. Now this law recalled God's slaying of Egypt's firstborn of man and animals. So he had directed that Israel's people ever afterwards were to redeem their firstborn, to redeem them from God's strong redemption, to remind them rather of God's strong redemption from the nation of the nation from Egypt. In Exodus chapter 13, 11 to 16, this is given as a reminder. Their firstborn sons were kept alive because they had the blood of the lamb on the doorposts or the lintel and so forth. The Egyptians lost the firstborn in their houses because they didn't have the blood. And of course, they lost their firstborn animals too. So this is interesting. The Lord provided this as a constant reminder. So every time a woman had a firstborn child, firstborn son, I believe it was, she had to redeem it. And that would remind her, it would remind everybody else in the family of the fact that they had been redeemed out of Egypt by God. And that would constantly force them to remember how much they owed God so that they would never depart from trusting in the Lord. Now, the law thus required Mary that would present her son. So Mary presented her purification offerings of the two birds that would then qualify her to enter the temple. See, she couldn't go into the temple because she wasn't ceremonially clean yet. So she had to offer this outside where the altar for the priest. The priest would take the birds in and offer them. Then after that had been done, then Mary was acceptable. Then she could go in and present into the temple to present her baby, the Lord Jesus. So then she entered the temple with Joseph to present Jesus to the Lord. Now when Joseph and Mary was holding Jesus, then entered the temple to present Jesus to the Lord and pay his redemption price as her firstborn son, God the Father signaled his full acceptance of the Lord Jesus. It's interesting, God got involved at this particular point. Luke 2:25-38. The Mosaic law directed that every fact be established by 2 or 3 witnesses in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. So God had 2 witnesses. He had a man who was a prophet by the name of Simeon, had a woman who was a prophetess by the name of Anna. And God had these 2 witnesses come into the temple. So God provided 2 credible biblical witnesses. They were credible because they were both elderly, and that would make them culturally respected. But they were both seasoned godly saints. These were prophets. One was a prophet, one was a prophetess. And God brought them to show his full acceptance of Jesus as the Messiah whom he had sent. This was meant to encourage Joseph and Mary and everybody else in Jerusalem, incidentally. Now the first witness was the elderly Simeon. He was a just and devout man who waited for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel is a phrase that was used in Jesus' day to refer to the Messiah who was going to deliver Israel. Israel was under pressure. She was under domination by foreign countries, by the foreign power of Rome. And so what God was going to do was give them encouragement and consolation. And that's how they looked forward to the Messiah. Now, the Holy Spirit had shown Simeon that he would live to see the Messiah. And he was led of the Holy Spirit into the temple just as Mary brought Jesus in to pay for his redemption. So he had received this information from the Lord. He wouldn't die until he'd seen the Messiah. Here comes Mary and Joseph into the temple. The Holy Spirit says, you need to move right now. And so he went. And as he went, here came the baby, and the Lord probably signaled out to him, this is the baby, this is the Messiah right here. And, of course, Simeon was absolutely overjoyed. Now, in that culture, you say, you know, what is a man doing taking a mother's baby, you know, a 5-week-old, 6-week-old baby into his arms? The culture was a very strong patristic culture, very male-dominated culture. This is an elderly man. So for an elderly man to come up to this young woman, and Mary would have been 14, 15 years of age at this time, and then take her baby out of his hands and hold him himself, that would be quite an honor as far as Mary's concerned, because this is a man, you know, he was well known in the area. He was known as a prophet. He'd been there for many, many years. This is a dear saint of the Lord. So he's taking this baby up in his arms. Simeon took Jesus up in his arms, and he blessed God, stating that the Lord could take him to heaven in peace, since God had fulfilled his word, and Simeon would live to see the Messiah. The elderly prophet predicted that Jesus would be a light to the Gentiles. Now that was new for Mary and Joseph. And the glory of God's people Israel, that was an amazing statement to the humble Hebrew couple Mary and Joseph. Joseph would have been older than Mary, probably in his 20s. Mary was quite young. And they typically married quite young at that point. But this is an elderly man, and he's making profound statements about their baby. The elderly prophet also then blessed Mary and Joseph, and he added that Jesus was set for the fall and the rise of many due to God's judgment, that Mary herself would suffer great inner pain in the process. The implication here is that Joseph might not be around at that time. And there's every indication that Joseph died sometime when Jesus was growing up. We know that Joseph was around when Jesus was 12 years of age, just before his bar mitzvah, because Mary turned to Jesus and said, don't you know that we were concerned, we were worried about you? But after that, Joseph passes off the scene, and at the cross, Jesus delivered his mother over to the care of John. He would have been able to do that only if the father was dead, because as the oldest son, he was then responsible for the care of the mother. And he delegated the care of his mother, Mary, to John. And of course, John lived to be very, very old and lived into his 90s. And Mary, by then, at that time, of course, would have been dead. But he pointed out that Mary would suffer great inner pain. It implies that Joseph wouldn't be around, but she was going to suffer this pain at the cross, seeing her son on the cross. Well, the second witness then arrived, the elderly devout prophetess Anna of the tribe of Asher. Now, the tribe of Asher is very important. Tribe of Asher. Asher is one of the northern tribes. And there's a whole belief in British Israelism that believes that the 10 northern tribes never returned after the Babylonian captivity. They migrated up into Europe and ended up in Britain, and then they came over in Britain, and that's where British Israelism comes over. And we Americans are actually, according to this belief, the offspring of the 10 northern lost tribes. Well, since this lady was of the tribe of Asher, that's one of the indications that the 10 tribes had returned. So it does away with British Israelism, which undermines both Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, who have their faith based off of that British Israelism. But anyway, she was a very elderly woman. In those days, she was 84 years of age, which would have been great age. Normally, people died about mid-60s, maybe 70 at the oldest. But to be 84 was unusual at that particular time. And she thanked God. She was a prophetess, she was devout, she spent her time day and night praising God and worshiping the Lord. She thanked God for Jesus' arrival as the Messiah and made known of him to all who were looking for the redemption in Jerusalem. And that's another phrase referring to the Messiah's deliverance of Israel. Now you can understand, this is an elderly woman. She's run into the infant Jesus, and of course as a woman she'd be telling every other woman around, hey, the Messiah is here. He's the little baby showed up at the temple. You can just see her talking this up. This is big news. But she's a prophetess. And so her word carried great weight. And she, along with Simeon, testified as God's two witnesses of the Father's acceptance and identity of Jesus as the Messiah. So the lesson is, when Mary and Joseph obeyed the Mosaic law on Mary's purification and the presentation of her firstborn son, God the Father testified of his acceptance of Jesus by two credible elderly prophetic witnesses, prophets. So may we thank God for clarifying his full credible acceptance of the Lord Jesus at the temple. Have you noticed so far we've been studying about the infancy of the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ has not said a word about himself. It's not recorded in Scripture yet. These are all words by other people. John the Baptizer. John hasn't even ministered yet, but Zacharias. Mary getting this feedback from the angel. The angel Gabriel to both Zacharias and to Mary. You have Simeon here. You have Anna. Jesus hasn't said a word yet. We have testimony by multiple witnesses before Jesus ever got out of infancy that he's the Messiah. So there is every reason in the world to believe that he's the Messiah. And number two, may we, like Joseph and Mary, heed Scripture for blessing and to be used greatly by God. Joseph and Mary, once again, just doing their little duty. They came to the temple. Mary had her offerings, the birds that she could afford. And then they paid the hefty $4 bill in order for Jesus to be redeemed as the firstborn, but God encouraged them through that entire process. And they were used greatly by God because it was into that home, their home, that Messiah, the Lord Jesus, was raised. And then number three, may we, like Simeon and Anna, live godly lives into old age, that God might use us to tell of his truth and faithfulness to future generations. I'll never forget when my mother was aged, and also I've had this type of conversation with other elderly people over the years of serving as a pastor. People get to the point when they get up in age, they wonder, well, what is my usefulness anymore? Why doesn't God just take me home? And my testimony to them has always been, look, you're one or two generations back. You have testimonies to share with our generation and the generation that's to come of the faithfulness of the Lord. You've seen the Lord be faithful for many decades longer than we have. And you have something to offer, and that is to tell the new generations of what's coming. Simeon had something to offer that encouraged Mary and directed Mary and Joseph. Anna did too. These were elderly saints. These were godly people. And they were waiting for the Messiah to come. And these elderly people totally accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, very unlike the generation that Jesus grew up into. But these elderly saints were there. And of course, this is something that Mary could remember. This is something that Joseph could remember. This is something that they could tell their other children about Jesus. There were two credible elderly saints, prophets, and one was a prophetess, since she's a woman, who testified this is the Messiah. And testify to people broadly. So we can do a tremendous amount. Just because we're getting up in age doesn't mean our usefulness is gone. No, in a sense, your usefulness goes up. Because you can talk about the days long ago, and you talk about the faithfulness of the Lord. That makes an imprint. I remember as a child growing up, I used to love to talk to elderly people. This is just after I was saved, age 11. I would talk to people in their 70s and 80s at the time, in our home church at Grace Baptist Church. I loved to listen to them because they would talk about the old days, way, way back before my mom and dad were born. And they would talk about God's faithfulness there and how the Lord had helped them. And they would refer to me as a young man. I remember ladies like this shaking their hands at me. But I loved to talk with them because they would build my faith up because of their tremendous age. So never get to the point where you think that you're useless. You're not. You're always useful. And every person has a gift to be used by the Lord, but none of us actually retire from serving the Lord. The only time we retire is either the rapture or death, when the Lord takes us home. But there's always a ministry to serve the Lord with.